So in each issue of The New Yorker, a cartoon caption contest is published on the last editorial page of the issue. We are infiltrating that vocabulary complex on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Be advised, we should abide by the official rules for the, air quotes here, contest at newyorker.com. This is me reading official legalese. The winner of each contest will be the person whose caption received the greatest number of valid, air quotes here, votes from the public and who satisfies all of the rules. Also, get this, void where prohibited, as in there's a state against New Yorker cartoon wit. Come on, lawyers. Join in on New Yorker cartoon captions, 800-642-1234. Paul Nesha of Mount Horeb has racked up 2 wins, 4 top 3 finishes in 3 years. Paul, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so your last winning caption appeared in the March 21st issue of The New Yorker. Can you describe what's going on in the cartoon?
That cartoon is of two dogs in front of a doghouse. One dog is speaking to the other dog. And the conflict in the cartoon is that the doghouse is incredibly tall.
And so what is your caption?
My caption for that was, it's got an indoor tree.
Mm-hmm. An indoor tree. So nice indoor plumbing for dogs.
Right.
a deluxe doghouse, if you will.
Right. It's something utterly ridiculous. It's not a good thing to have, actually.
So can you take us through your creative process, how you work through coming up with the caption?
Sure. One of the first things I do is I stay up late on Sunday night. That's when the contest changes over, about midnight. And I take a look at the cartoon and try to figure out something right off. Sometimes it comes to me immediately. I don't know how that works. It's like magic for me. And I'll enter that in the first 5 minutes of the contest. But if I can't think of something right off, I will, work the rest of the week doing that. What I'll usually do is I'll make a list of the two conflicts in the cartoon. For this last one with the dogs, one is that they're dogs and the other one is a tall doghouse. And I try to come up with two ideas that I can bring together to make that funny.
Every word matters, I would imagine, too. You have
every word. Yes, you have to have an economy of words. You don't want to have any extra words in there because that just makes it less funny.
Yes. So I noticed you can buy this cartoon as wall art, as a beach towel, a coffee mug, a phone case, a T-shirt, a face mask. You can walk around with your caption on your face. You know, I want to ask so many things here, but are there monetary benefits for cartoon creativity for The New Yorker?
Not really, not for me at least. I mean, if you're an actual cartoonist, that's your living. But for somebody who does this just capturing things, it's for the pleasure of it. And yes, when I win, I get to go and buy a coffee mug, which I am holding right now.
Are you really?
Yes.
Which one?
I've got the one. It's my first win. It's the pirates forcing someone off a subway train. And the caption for that is no one crossed the pirates of Penn Station.
So this is a pirate who's on the subway train making a blindfolded person walk off a subway car on a plank. And say the caption one more time.
No one crosses the Pirates of Penn Station.
Okay. Is this, and I'm just curious, is this a nod to Pirates of Penzance?
Yes, it is. At least that, when my original idea came up, I was trying to figure out something with Pirates of Penzance. And obviously, in my method, it's like, okay, I've got that in subway stations. I thought Penn Station, brought the two together, made a caption. So you got to find a common point to make the caption work.
Are you like fine wine? Do your captions get better with age?
Yes, I like to think so.
So we walked through a couple of entries, and I would imagine, you do this regularly, so you've probably put in some what you thought were true winners.
Yes.
can you explain one that you really wished had won?
Well, actually, there is one in a recent contest of a flying saucer in the middle of Central Park, and there's aliens coming off it. And the behind the aliens is what appears to be a lawyer or an accountant or something. And my caption for that was, it's not an invasion. Oh, I'm sorry. There are two people, an older couple, watching these aliens come off the spaceship. And the woman is saying, it's not an invasion. It's an injunction.
Okay, so so there are you know, thousands of entries each week, and they receive these votes from voters, from people online who are voting on these captions. So what do you have in mind there for in terms of this crowdsourcing effort for captions?
You enter your caption and you hope for the best. I mean, there's no way it's, I mean, there's literally 5,000-6,000 other captions in there. You just have to hope for yours to bubble up to the top of the list. That's how the voting works. The ones that get the most funny votes eventually bubble up to the top, and you start seeing yours more often. So, I mean, you just have to be funny and enter it. That's all you can do.
You just have to be funny. Or I'm going to reintroduce you here. Paul Nesha co-owns a letterpress printing business in Mount Horeb, and in spare time submits hilarious captions for cartoons in the New Yorker magazine caption writing contest. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Tom is with us from Burlington. Hi, Tom. What is your question?
Well, I have two things. I know a woman there are people who only buy the New Yorker for the cartoon, nothing else. They just, they've done it for years and years and years. And then the next one is, do you ever collaborate with people? Sometimes you meet funny people and you kind of bounce ideas off those people, and they're very funny people, and they kind of inspire you.
Thanks, Tom.
Yes, I kind of do that, actually. I'm a member of a Facebook page where there's 8,000 other people that are members of this Facebook page. And each week, we go on there and make comments on each other's captions and bounce ideas off of each other and just try to improve each other's captions. Sometimes I have to do that just because I'm coming up against a wall. So, yes, I do that occasionally.
It's kind of like some caption training a little bit, I suppose.
Caption boot camp, yes.
Caption boot camp. And you also, you can't get too attached to a caption because, you know, I would imagine, too, you have to be able to step back and say, well, you know, that one might not have been pretty good. So you can't get too full of yourself, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's sometimes I'll work. I think I have an idea that sounds really great at first, but there's just no way to word it to get it to work within a caption. So, you know, as much as you like that, you just gotta abandon it and go on to the next one. So yes.
Is there a sweet spot for the number of words you're working with?
Well, I wouldn't say words. There's characters. Trying to keep it on one line for the New Yorker would be about 35 characters. So there's that one, and then there's the next level of trying to keep it under two lines, and that gets up to 60 characters. So you want to try to get that nice-looking one-line caption.
I can just see the font right now. So I listened to one of your podcast episodes yesterday, and this is where you interview cartoonists of The New Yorker, and you talk about captions, and you talk about the creative process. What has that podcast done to kind of inform how you approach caption writing?
I don't think it's really changed my caption writing as much. A lot of what I do is it's reinforced by the cartoonists that we talk to. You know, they talk about their methods, and they kind of match mine already. So it's like, it's nice to know I'm going in the right direction.
Do you ever get any tips for them, ideas on the creative process, especially when you hit that wall, when you just don't have an idea? What do they do?
Everyone has a different idea of what to do here. Some of them just walk away and do something else for a while. Others, they keep files of their cartoons that got half finished, and they'll rummage those to see if there's an idea that they can put together with what they're currently working on. So there's a number of different ways to do it.
Have you found community through caption writing? Have you found a community through this contest?
Yes, I have. As I said, there's this Facebook page called the New Yorker Cartoon Caption Contest Rejects. These are people who've been rejected from the New Yorker for years and years, decades even. And so we've all gotten together and we commiserate, and you know, somebody comes up to the great caption that they think should have won, and it's like, and we all say, yes, that was a great caption. We're, you know, it should have won. And when somebody actually does win, it's like we're all very happy and we celebrate it. So yes, there's a nice community of people there.
Some nice therapy going on in that caption space. Well, Paul, thank you for sharing this with us. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, you're welcome.
Wisconsin's own Paul Nesha, a regular participant in the New Yorker's Cartoon Caption Contest, won the contest 2 times. Have you entered a caption or voted for other submissions? Do you wonder about how the funniest captions get selected? Join in at 800-642-1234. We're going to pick this up with a UW-Madison professor who created the algorithm that helps the magazine determine the funniest captions. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the New Yorker's cartoon captions and how they come to fruition, but they also take on a life of their own through crowdsourcing. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Robert Nowak is McFarland Bascom Professor in Engineering at UW-Madison. And nearly a decade ago now, he reached out to the cartoon editor of The New Yorker and asked, hey, could they use an automated system to sort and winnow the best captions submitted to the cartoon contest? Why? Yes, no laughing matter there. What do you think about AI judging or creating humor through artificial intelligence? Have you laughed at the answers you get when you ask Alexa or Siri questions? Join in 800-642-1234. Robert Nowak, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So you created this algorithm for The New Yorker, still in use today. How does it work?
So basically what the algorithm does is it collects these ratings. People can go to the system and look at cartoon captions that have been submitted. They have 3 options. They can say a given caption is not funny, somewhat funny, or funny. And our system decides which captions to show people when they show up to this crowdsourcing platform. And as the voting and starts and some of these votes and ratings come in, some captions start to be looking a little funnier than others. And we kind of push those towards the top of a sorted list, if you will. And the ones that are getting more funny votes will be presented to more people. So roughly speaking, the funnier the caption, the more ratings it receives, providing a more statistically accurate estimate of just how funny it is.
I'm thinking a parallel of a Google search and what appears on the first or second pages. Would that be analogous?
That's exactly right. So there, what would be happening is many people search on the same or similar terms, and Google keeps track of how many times a website that it shows in those search returns is actually clicked on and so forth. And so the search items that get more clicks are the ones that Google pushes up to the top of the list when you do a search.
How did you think to reach out to The New Yorker in the first place to say if they needed this type of analysis?
Yeah, so we were, my students and I were working on algorithms for optimizing crowdsourcing in rating and review systems like you'd find on Google search or other things, Amazon and so forth. And Bob Mankoff came to UW-Madison and gave a lecture. He was invited by some folks in the psychology department. And he talked about the psychology of humor. And my student and I saw that lecture and we thought, wow, that cartoon caption contest would be a really fun way to test and evaluate how different algorithms perform for these types of crowdsourcing activities. And I reached out to Bob and explained what our research was about and asked him if he could share a little bit of the New Yorker data. And then we did some small scale experiments just to evaluate, as I said, different types of algorithms for this type of problem. And Bob was excited about it. He thought that's really cool. He said we should do this for the real New Yorker contest. And that's how we got started.
Have you tweaked the program over the years? Have you adjusted the algorithms?
Yeah, we've done a few things. So it's a continual research project. We learned a lot through the New Yorker. It was a really large scale sort of application of these ideas. So that presented some software engineering challenges. We had to make the algorithm scale up to handle the large volume of activity that we see. There's a lot of people who are voting in this contest. We also improve the way the algorithms work, so they're more effective and more efficient, and also a little bit more robust. We put in some mechanisms that make it difficult for people to maliciously interact with the system. So it's a safer system, if you will.
How do you know they're fair and that they don't introduce bias?
Well, the system is only using the ratings that people are providing. So mm-hmm. The system itself does not look at the words or the actual captions themselves. And so we're simply looking at, you know, how many times did someone say a particular caption is funny or unfunny? And we're using that. The rest of it is based on, you know, statistical analysis, which is, you know, objective and as fair as you can make it.
Talking with Rob Nowak, who is a professor in the UW-Madison College of Engineering, talking about the New Yorker cartoon caption contest and the algorithm work that goes into the crowdsourcing effort. You can join in. Have you ever entered the caption contest? Have you wondered how the funniest captions get selected? What do you think about artificial intelligence helping to contribute to judging and creating what is humor? What is the caption? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Rob, how does the New Yorker's ongoing use of your algorithm work, how does that further your research into artificial intelligence and machine learning?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, apart from applications to things like rating and review systems, our research and experiments are also important for just some basic engineering and science problems. For example, our algorithms are also used by the Air Force. They're used by local businesses like American Family Insurance. And they're used by researchers here at the university who study human learning and decision making. One of the most fun projects and collaborations I've been involved with was in education. We used our machine learning system to study and understand how chemistry students learn to reason about visual representations of molecules. And this is something that can help us design and improve AI-assisted tutoring systems.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you work from the same place, whether it is AI in computer systems, whether it's a local business, whether it's, you know, it's working on a different problem versus, you know, cartoon captions? Do you take a similar approach to programming these problems?
Yeah, definitely, you know, common elements that come up. And, you know, basically we have data. We're trying to learn from those data something about the mechanisms that are generating the data. So in the case of the caption contest, we're getting these responses, not funny, somewhat funny, funny. And we're trying to understand, you know, and predict, if you will, what somebody will say. If a new person comes along and looks at a caption, we can predict what they'll say based on what other people have said. So this machine learning is, and AI using machine learning is about prediction. And so that's the common theme. We're trying to predict something based on past observations.
So by extension here, could this programming help make smart devices at home like Alexa and Siri who are telling jokes, you know, and other things? Could it help in those devices?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, something that there's a lot of interest in. Of course, companies like Amazon and Alexa want to be cautious, right? They don't want to have these systems do anything that would be inappropriate or offensive. So it's a delicate problem, right? I mean, humor is often operating at that edge of appropriateness and so forth. So yeah, there's a lot of activity in that area. Bob Mankoff, who was the former editor of the New Yorker Cartoon Contest we started with, he's been working with a number of people, including us, at that problem of trying to build AI systems that have a sense of humor or can assist humans in the generation of humor. And yeah, it's a really fun project.
Right, because there was this group of university students who tried to win the New Yorker Cartoon Caption Contest with captions generated by artificial intelligence. And, you know, this method hasn't produced a winning entry, but do you think that it one day will?
I think it's definitely possible. I mean, the way those systems work that they were using, these are machine learning systems. So they're sort of taught to make these predictions. And roughly speaking, what they do is, given a sequence of words, a sentence or two, these systems are trained to predict the next word that will come out. And we can just take all of the text documents off the web and train these systems just to try to do that next word prediction problem. And this is what these systems have been trained to do. And then people can just insert like a prompt to the system that would say, I'm looking at a caption that shows or depicts this scene. Can you think of something funny to say about it?
Mm-hmm.
And they can, you know, the systems produce something that seems a little bit funny sometimes. Mm-hmm. But we've been working with taking all the data that we've collected from the New Yorker and then actually going back and retraining or fine-tuning these systems a little bit, and we can get them to actually start generating fairly funny captions automatically. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot of potential there, but we're just kind of starting on those projects.
Rob, thank you so much for joining us and for explaining this work.
My pleasure. It's been fun to talk with you.
Rob Nowak, professor of engineering at UW-Madison. Earlier, we talked with Paul Nesha, who regularly submits his caption efforts to the New Yorker. We have a link, by the way, to the caption contest. It's at wpr.org/mornings. And ahead this hour, we're in conversation with the UW System Board of Regents President, Edmund Manydeeds, overseeing Wisconsin's public universities. What do you want to know from leaders who oversee the system's universities across the state? 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.